Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Verse 28. This is one of the famous verses in regards to be very chaste and concealed appearance of the most beloved mistress of the pet parrot Shuka, who in obedience to Krishna's will stayed behind in this mortal realm after the continuation of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in other universes to enlighten us about the glories of Krishna's intimate and loving pastimes, and most of all the glories of the most exalted form of pure devotional service, which the Prabodhi Nanda Saraswati emphatically declares in such heartfelt words of surging emotion, like ocean tide, which has made his message immortal. The topmost peak of spiritual perfection, which is not understood by sages of yore, not attainable by any kind of religious practices, sacrifice, austerity, philosophical approach, not even known to many of Sri Govinda's own personal servitors. That most precious, purely refined essence of devotional service and divine love has been revealed to this world. But in the 10th canto, we're finding here an indication, because Shuka, Shri means goddess of, Shri means fortune, means opulence, but here Shri Shuka means the parrot, who, on the request of Krishna, seeking a place to stay through the Kali Yuga in order to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam into Mount Kailash, got in trouble with Lord Shiva, flew in fear into the gaping mouth of Srila Vyasadeva's wife, who in amazement and after tensions hearing the Bhagavad from him, took shelter in her heart, manifest in her womb as a child who refused to come out, even with the assuring words of his father, Vyasadeva, didn't trust him because he was a householder. Even when Krishna came and Krishna assured him, it's all right, finally came out, and then immediately left home. And his father's words calling back his son were just echoing in the forest and not responded by Shukadeva, who only expanded himself to go back and be a beautiful son, but in his original form just wandered like a madman and entered the assembly on the bank of the Ganges where sages had assembled from all over the universe hearing the news of Maharaj Pritchard's imminent demise. And Maharaj Pritchard, his question, what is the foremost duty of man, especially at that crucial hour of death? He's not satisfied with the responses. And then Shukadeva Goswami entered the arena. And everyone stood up in respect. Even though he appeared like a madman, he's wandering naked and when the city is surrounded by all these crazy people and children and women just mocking them. And they saw the respect offered in the assembly of great sages, devas, and rishis throughout the universe. They all left. They saw this is not whimsical matter. And Shukadev Goswami replied that the foremost duty of man, especially at that crucial time of death, is to hear the holy name, glories, fame, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam. But knowing that Maharaj Pariksit only had 7 days to live, Shukadeva Goswami could not utter the name of his mistress because he had become so wrapped in loving ecstasy that he would just be lost for 6 months or so. But he wanted Maharaj Pariksit to have the benefit of hearing the entire Bhagavad. So you see, oftentimes when Shukadeva Goswami just mentions the holy name of Krishna and thinks about Krishna's pastimes, he becomes so enraptured that he has to like distract himself and calm himself to even speak. He could not mention the holy name of Shukadeva directly. For other reasons also, in that assembly, the sages, devas, and rishis were not necessarily of pure heart. In such an intimate revelation, confined only within the hearts of the most purely exalted devotees, cannot be broadcast in public, indiscriminately, adhikar of the audience. So he preferred, he saw it wise to keep the holy name of his mistress very carefully and chastely covered. So that only the wise, and what does wise mean? It means those who submit to the guidance of their spiritual master to understand properly, in the proper context, the words of this mantra. They can see. And furthermore, by innuendos and deductive reasoning, we can decipher that Krishna, who is so willing and eager and greedy to steal butter and yogurt and milk, even though he knows he's going to get in trouble, can't help it. Such greed. But what do these things symbolize? Symbolize. What does milk symbolize? It means that Krishna likes to be in the company of cows because cows symbolize a complete giving of oneself. One who is just satisfied with the most common commodity for their sustenance, grass, which is actually undesirable in the sense that it's always growing and people need to mow their lawns. But they don't need to mow their lawns if they have cows because cows eat that which becomes undesirable to others and do a nice service in the process of keeping the lawn and keep clean. But then they take that useless substance, grass, and process it into milk, butter, yogurt, cream, ice cream, surely cows produce whatever they want, and manure, which is, you know, to some equally precious as the milk, to some a little bit more, some a little bit less according to their occupation. So this is one of the verses where Shukadeva Goswami, in a concealed way, covered by that very chaste veil of Yoga Maya, reveals herself to the loving devotees who submit to the guidance of the spiritual master, and can see with eyes the anointed of the salve of love, illumined by the torchlight of knowledge, that which is concealed from public view. Verse 28. And you see the name Radha is concealed in the first word of the sloka.
Naya Radita Nunam.
Naya Radita.
Bhagavan Harishwara
Bhagavan Harishwara
Jnana Vihaya Govinda
Itayamanayara
Anaya
By her
Radharita
Perfectly worshipped
Nunam
Certainly
Bhagavan
The Personality of Godhead
Hari
Lord Krishna
Ishvara,
the Supreme Controller.
Yat,
inasmuch as.
Na,
us.
Vihaya,
rejecting.
Govinda,
Lord Govinda.
Rita,
please.
Yam,
whom
Anayat,
led.
Raha,
to a secluded place.
Translation. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains that the word Radharita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, quote, the sage Shukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the all-powerful the word Adadita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great, great fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. So how can Krishna be captured? He's so greedy that he's always stealing, beginning with butter, yogurt, and milk in his childhood. In his youth, he was so greedy that he stole all the garments of the Kumaris. And throughout eternity, in all ages, he's always stealing the hearts of his devotees. And he's such a cunning thief, but he's, in order to evade capture, he's hiding in a very dark place called the Kali Yuga. And according to, it's interesting the way Karvajna Muni explains to, or answers the question of King Mimi regarding the avatars for the different ages, and he lists them in order by the names that denote their complexion. So the Yuga avatars for the Satyatrayadhiparam Yuga in Kali Yuga are by name Shukla, Dakta, Shyam, and Krishna, which means in the Kali Yuga the Lord assumes he comes in a dark form and hides in the darkness of the Kali Yuga to evade capture. Of course, devotees know that he is dark within. Krishna means dark. But outwardly, he has this golden aura of Srimati Radharani's love for him, which is such a phenomenon that Krishna, it is as if he had an existential crisis in his life. And in the following canto, the 11th canto, you see the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam correlate with different features of the Lord, beginning from his lotus feet in the first canto, and then rising up to the 10th canto, which is like his smiling face. The 11th canto is his afterthought, which is expanded upon in the reflection of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who analyzes Krishna's thoughts for us. He reveals Krishna's thoughts word for word, and then further analyzes with his own devotional perception. Krishna was thinking at the conclusion of his Vrindavan Leela that for so long I've desired to bestow loving devotional service upon this world. The living entities are my children, and it is my duty to protect and deliver them. But specifically, the three internal considerations given for the advent of Lord Rama, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can really relish through her love, and the sublime happiness he feels when he tastes the unparalleled sweetness of her love. You see, Krishna could not understand these things. He could not understand the glory of her love. He was appreciating it, but the glory of her love is beyond his unlimited realm of realization to comprehend, who is bewildering to him. And what was it about himself that evoked so much love from her? And what is the sweetness in that love? Krishna could not comprehend these things. He was thinking, I'm the source of everyone and everything. I'm omniscient. There's nothing unknown to me. But this kind of love is bewildering to me. I can't understand it. There was an existential crisis in the life of Sri Krishna. And he had to take a special form just to delve into these mysteries. And this is very complicated. And therefore, that dark lord hiding in the darkness of Kali Yuga because he's a thief trying to evade capture. But he's captured by the love of his devotees, and there's no other way. So Krishna has within him Ananda. His Vasudeva feature is rich in satin shif. But Ananda, the bliss within Krishna, to really extract it, to really evoke it and make it flow, necessitates reciprocation. That necessitates another. And therefore he expands himself as Srimati Radharani, who is not different from Krishna. The divine, tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. And she evokes that flow, that rasa. And Lord Gauranga takes that which is inconceivable even to Krishna, which is concealed within the heart of the Vedas, which is revealed only to surrendered devotees who submit to the guidance of their spiritual master with such discipline as to be able, as to gradually, through the process of sadhana, qualify themselves to see that which is otherwise concealed is in the heart of the Vedas. So when Krishna says, I am the Acharya, Krishna himself reveals himself, but he reveals himself through his energy, which in the most complete loving devotional aspect is Srimati Radharani, the original guru in the realm of Madhurya, who is further assisted by Lord Balaram, the original guru in the other four primary rasas. And the individual representative, Srila Prabhupada spoke it so astutely, and he says there's only one guru who is a guru of everyone and everything, but he comes in a limited variety of forms just to reach
you and I and everyone.
And the Guru's words, they hit home, because he's the ambassador from our home. And home is also within the heart. And he is the external manifestation of super soul. So he intercedes. You see, the plight of the conditioned soul. Everyone is searching after satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada began his morning in Bhagavatam lecture in 1972 at Bhagavatam during the Janmashtami Vyasa Puja celebration. And he sat on Vyasa Sangha with a stained glass window behind him. And just when he began speaking the Bhagavatam, the sun would rise behind him and shine through the stained glass window, making all kinds of beautiful colored patterns on the floor, which as the sun rising, those crystal reflectors were kind of like moving towards his lotus feet. And I was thinking, this is a perfect visualization of what the Bhagavad says, that rising, like the rising sun in the Kali Yuga after the departure of Lord Krishna, dispels all ignorance and all darkness. And he began his lecture, everyone is searching after satisfaction. But the problem is the conditioned souls are looking in the wrong place. And if you don't know where to look, then you get more and more entangled in your ascending process, which is doomed to just further bewilderment, lost in the endless labyrinth of material complexities, the maze which has no exit. And Krishna's rule is that he never manifests the foolish and unintelligent. To them, he's always covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya. So what is our hope? Only in the appearance of Sri Guru, which necessitates two qualifications of the jiva. First of all, that we want a guru, that we want to be free from this maze of illusion. And secondly, mercy is that we have the qualification to recognize the spiritual master by his words, because they hit home. He's a representative of him, come to be his home. So when the sun, the illuminating qualities of the Bhagavad is coming east, as illumination always does, gradually, like the rising sun traversing westward from the east, in the hall of the Jaladutta, and the humble bearer of that message arriving on our shores like a beggar, in the garbage. And the words he wrote from the Jaladutta are so mystifying. O brothers, you will attain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Well, who's speaking these words? It's very reminiscent of the cowherd voice telling Krishna, Krishna, you will attain good fortune only when Srimati Radharani is pleased with you. But Srila Prabhupada is also seeking blessings from above for the impossible mission of preaching in the West to the most, the antithesis of gentleman, in the words of Srila Prabhupada, was hippie. And when he was requested about what is the manifestation of your mystic potencies, he said, I've turned these hippies into happies. And the reporter asked, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, something extraordinary. Which to Prabhupada it was. A hippie to him is the personification of that which is furthest removed and divorced from Vedic culture, any culture. And when one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was asked by the devotees to glorify him in the Vyasa Puja, but actually kind of, he was trying to slight Srila Prabhupada by saying, well, anybody could have done what he did. But I didn't have the mind for it. Which means that Prabhupada did have the mind to relate to hippies. But what is the mindset by which anybody could relate to hippies? Either you had to be one, or you had to just be so deeply enriched with divine compassion upon their plight that you would agree to enter the depths of such darkness as the very empire the capital was darkness, degradation, and sin, probably like New York, leaving Radha Damodar Temple for the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, residents of Vimukta Street, to bring their message here. So Amajaladutta, on the way, further beseeching their blessings, and in his most heartfelt poem, beginning with this interesting stanza, refrain. Oh brothers, you will attain. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he dedicated Krishna book to his father, Gaura Mohan Dev, who Srila Prabhupada told us as a regular occurrence would invite sadhus into his home. And most of them weren't really sadhus. He was just respecting the attire and the custom, and you know, feeding them so lovingly with such hospitality, seeing to their every need being and desire being fulfilled, and asking only one blessing. That Srimati Radharani bless my son. You may become beautiful, Srimati Radharani. So only someone enriched with that kind of compassion and seeking that kind of blessing upon others. So that refrain, oh brothers, you will attain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani is pleased with you. That's what the coward boys say to Krishna. That's also what Sri Prabhupada is offering to us. The most essence, most deep essence and pure manifestation of divine mercy in its most unreserved and indiscriminate form, as experienced by Lord Gauranga, wanting to taste it for himself. But he didn't want it for himself. He wanted everyone. And that's why Sankirtan is the process. Samyak means complete. Kirtan means glorification. Sankirtan is a very interesting word. It's a very interesting process. But just understanding what it means as translation can help you understand the divine, exalted, unlimited treasure in this process. Samyak means complete. It means everyone coming together. And it means using all resources in kirtan. Kirtan means glorification. So Krishna came to glorify, to expand the fame, jasho, of Mother Yashoda. Because Mother Yashoda can't give birth to Krishna in the spiritual world. Kirtida cannot give birth to Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. There's no birth in the spiritual world. There's some concept, some recollection. That really comes from the material world. In the spiritual world, Krishna is in his Nitya Kishore, just like we have our Kishore with us today. In case you want to know what it's like for somebody who just never grows up. That's a quality of Krishna. He's never a baby in Goloka. These pastimes are the privilege of the material universes, which each have within them an earth planet, which has its Gokul, embassy of Goloka, where these pastimes take place. Of course, it also means the place where our own infant Krishna consciousness is desiring and preparing to take birth. Because Gokul is the place where the Nitya Siddhas who come down with Krishna combine in Sankirtan with the Sadhana Siddhas coming up throughout all the universe, all coming together in Gokul, coming together in Sankirtan, by which the Sadhana devotees and the Sadhana Siddhas, even the Sadhana Siddhas who perfect their spirit, their Sadhana, they do not go directly back to Goloka. They go to that universe, wherever it is, somewhere in the universe Krishna is taking birth at this moment. And when that pastime is complete, he'll take birth in the next. He's always taking birth somewhere. So the devotees who have perfected their sadhana, they do not go directly back to Goloka. They go to that Gokul where Krishna is appearing in this world, to come together in Sankirtan, with the sadhana siddhas and the nitya siddhas and all together to help one another in what none of us can do alone, pleasing Krishna. Because Sankirtan, he wants it to be a collective, inclusive, that Krishna Lila is so intimate, so esoteric, that other than the Shrutacharyas at the sages of Dandakaranya, nobody really entered into that roadshow to move on with it when it proceeded. So Krishna, in his afterthoughts, in the 11th canto, reflected upon the Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as, you know, what really gets him going in the beginning of the yogi chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna is feeling incomplete after his Vrindavan Leela. I got to experience some of that love, and it was meant to attract the world, but who was attracted? It's too esoteric, it's too concealed, too confidential. So he was thinking, I must come again. Both to fulfill his own internal purposes. He wants to share it. He wants to distribute it. And in so doing, how to reveal the most essential aspects of divine love in the Vrindavasis, in this mortal realm, in this hippie world, in this age of Kali. Krishna's higher because he's a thief. And even the scriptures, if you look through all the scriptures we have translated in English, and probably even those in Sanskrit, in Bengali, or Hindi, or anything, who has ever seen a description of the Kaliyuga avatar? We have so much information. We have a whole Chaitanya Charitamrita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya revealing the nature and the Leela and the teachings of the golden avatar who appears in the 28th Divya Yuga in the reign of Vaidyasvara Manu. But that's only one out of 1,000 Kali Yugas. That's once in the day of Brahma. That's one time in a period of 8,640,000,000 years that Lord Chaitanya comes. But there is a Yuga avatar who bestows the Hare Krishna mantra as the Yuga Dharma. Where's the description? Who's ever heard anything about him? What is the meaning? You can appreciate it so many levels. Krishna's hiding because he doesn't want to get caught because he's a thief. He's hiding his dark complexion in the Kali Yuga, and he's veiled with this golden aura. But why? No, and very little description about the other Yuga avatars. No description that I've ever come across about the Kali Yuga avatar. He comes in every age of Kali, bestows the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name, by which one can attain liberation, even up to the level of Dwarka. But there again, Srila Prabhupada loved to quote Srila Prabhupada Saraswati, so emphatic and clear on this point. How important is it that Lord Ram and Lord Narsingha came and slaughtered so many powerful Daitya Dhanava demons? How important is it that Lord Vishnu and Brahma and Shiva create, maintain, and destroy the worlds? How wonderful is it that different Leela avatars and Yuga avatars come and do their thing and then disappear? I don't think these things are very important. Because the important thing is that Lord Gauranga has come to experience the depth of Srimati Radharani's love and to bestow upon this world a process by which we can gradually qualify ourselves for coming together with the sadhana siddhas and the nitya siddhas and the Brijabhasis and Lord Gauranga and everybody coming together in Sankirtan. This is such headline news. This is frontline news that puts everything to the back page, if it's even there in the scriptures. That's funny. I've searched far and wide for descriptions about the coming reality. You can see little hints and little indirect indications here and there. I've inquired from sadhus and gurus. Nobody's ever seen anything. It's obviously there, or it was, in the heavenly planets. It got more violent than the Srimad Bhagavatam, but where is it? What's the use? You got, you know, some of these things, not that the appearances of the avatars are insignificant, because some of them got pushed to the back page and some of them got pushed further than they're not even found. Because the important thing is that Lord Gaurang has come to taste the depth of the Vrijavasi's love for Krishna, his love for them, and most of all, to distribute a process by which we can gradually purify and qualify ourselves for entering into that Leela. Once again, reflecting on Srila Prabhupada's words, even behind his room in Radhadhana Dhamma's room, his place of worship, the religious spirit, the religion, the Sri Guru Goswami, after a lifetime of imploring their blessings, and sailing across the dark ocean into the dark world, imploring Krishna. Oh brother, you are king of your perfection. Send us a king of Krishna. Krishna is part of the religious spirit. So, the brother, he's based on Ashley. This is one day that Srila Prabhupada said they could have darshan of the religious spirit. This is the abundant service. Don't try to see Krishna. Serve in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. But really, Krishna would want to meet the others. Srila Prabhupada gave us this advice. And if you have permission for that matter, this is you. But she's the divine mother of God. That's why they need dance for half a day. She just wants to show them hungry. If you can please her, by showing her that the kind of work cooperatively in this Kali Yuga is just impossible. To attract her heavens, glass, sheep, and species. Except this glory. This is the very hope and aspiration which sustains and improves the devotees and enhances our God through all the practice of ordeal and all the birth and death and all the suffering that make this material world seen as a place of lila, a place of Krishna's lila. Inviting all souls. You see, by our conditioning, we become determined condition. It's impossible for us to break out of our condition. But Krishna says, I am the acharya. The acharya is the empowered portion of the jiva that comes to our lesson. And he's represented as Srimati Radharani because he knows how to please Krishna. And how to invoke Krishna's compassion upon us. So New Vrindavan is going through an episode which shows what the blessings, how it works. And Krishna, or when Srimati Radhan, or actually Sri Guru, accepts, is formalized by initiation, we say, it destroys your karma. It doesn't really destroy your karma, it means he intervenes. So, by karma, we're indebted to so many different agencies. So the Guru intervenes. I'll be happy to declare it bankruptcy. He'll pay you back if you let him live. So let him live. Leave him alone. Let him build up his resources through his sadhana. And then he may be able to pay you back. He also let his deal together. So don't ask him too much, but you'll get one for his also. So Guru, you need to be in from his way. You are debtors? No, that's us. What's the other side? We're debtors. Creditors. He intercedes for our creditors. If you haven't heard, you may pay it back, but you're also creditors. And then also debtor. So that's a debtor with the law. Yes, he's got a mark. And the one that intervenes will be destroyed. And the one that is necessary to release you and release you won't be arrested. And for the roadshow of Krishna's pastimes, and somewhere in the universe, you have to have this big degree at this time. But at least, and always, they could be good to get it. If we sincerely and that was reverential approach, but it's so hard, so exalted. This secret, which is not an open secret, but it's hidden within the heart of the race. And it's open only my Lord and under his associates for edification. This piece, the intricacies and depths and wonder that could give us a skill for Krishna. Which alone is so sweet and pure and holy that it can not only protect us, but it can deliver us. Not only from the evils and perils of this Kali-yuga, but as the only form of Sanatana Dharma that is so pure and dense and sweet and immortal that can even function this Kali-yuga. But the wonder is, that the different yuga dharmas, the sacrifice, and the meditation, the satyuga, it doesn't work in the Kali Yuga. The meditation, the satyuga, the sacrifice of the Pali, the deity worship of the trait of the Dwapari, meditation of satyuga, sacrifice, Kali-yuga, deity worship of the party, they're meant for us to gradually elevate ourselves to see the Lord in meditation in the core of our hearts. It doesn't work in the Kali-yuga. In the Treta-yuga, the sacrifice in which you see the Lord in the fire, it doesn't work in the Kali-yuga. In the Kali-yuga, the worship of the deity, to see the Lord in the form of the deity, it doesn't work in the Kali-yuga. The only thing that works in the Kali is the very essence. But that requires humility. Because in other yugas, people think they've got some qualification. Maybe they do. In the Kali, their only qualification is an utter understanding of lack of qualification, utter humility, and surrender to one who can intercede on our behalf. And then by the wonderful process of Sankirtan, the other yuga dharmas do become meaningful and fruitful even in the Kali Yuga, as sincerely to the chanting of the Sankirtan. So all these things and so much more has come to us before the real obedience of the humble messenger for Krishna, who came to proclaim the answer of others. Thank you very much for any questions or comments.
Krishna was quoting all those song slokas in his own mind when he was reflecting on these things in the midst of his existential crisis. So it's not that Krishna wasn't considering all the slokas that he did cite. He also cited them himself in his own mind. It didn't work, because there's something beyond this. What is it about the love of Srimati Radharani that, consider this, when my beloved consort approaches me in a sulking mood that steals my mind from the reverential hymns of the Vedas? That means that Sankirtan not only delivers us from the age of Kali, but delivers Krishna from the boredom of what he considers boredom of the Vedic hymns. It also delivers Krishna to us. So Krishna was thinking, this is
the love of Srimati Radha is all-pervading and ever-expanding. It is amazing. It's something that could only be understood from purpose. And therefore Krishna had to assume her identity to avoid the moon, to not avoid, to fulfill his own existential crisis by assuming her identity, experiencing what she feels through her eyes, seeing himself through her eyes. And that way, in the spiritual world, there is perfect, more perfect, most perfect. There is complete, more complete, and most complete. There is pure, most pure, and more pure. So you can say that Sri Krishna and Lord Varanga are synonymous. They're on an equal level, which may be philosophically accurate to say, but from the vantage point of Jivas, they're not equal. Lord Varanga is greater than Krishna. Lord Nityananda is greater than Sri Varanga. Greater than the aspects of Jivas. What is that? Compassion for Jivas is the natural other aspect of love for Krishna in the heart of the Divine Mother of all things. So when Krishna is enriched, he has to be. So if you want to proceed from perfect and complete, the more perfect and complete, the most perfect and complete, you have Sarvananda. He's not alone. He has innumerable associates. And they come together, worship together, and deliver us together, and non-sanctuary together. This is a very interesting process, chanting Hare Krishna. Because in the Vedic hymns, we're chanting Govindaya, unto Govinda. The Mahamantra is not an application to a holy name which is beyond our reach. It's not a supplication to the Lord that is a vocative call. Oh Krishna, oh Lord, this is a desperate emergency, crisis, situation, a plaintive plea from a penitent heart for mercy in this most unrestricted and reserved form. So this is a process, the most perfect and complete process in which the most perfect and complete manifestation of Godhead is surrounded by his innumerable associates of all of the avatars and continually gathering more associates in material universes to join in this non-sankirtan, which is the qualification and the end qualification for entering the stream of the universe. So the answer is there is, even amongst avatars, most completely perfect. A complete and perfect aspect, more complete and more perfect, and most complete and most perfect, which is very dependent on his assistance. Because of the loving Shakti, which is most fully manifest.
Thank you.
one that approached them to see the Prabhupada. There's no one that approached him to his Prabhupada. After most of them gone,
that simple Vrijabhasi tale is actually from the Krishna.
That's an authorized Gaudiya Vaishnava. That's from the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentaries. And very appropriate. Yes, how could such cruelty be inflicted by anyone in Braj? Well, I mean, in Braj, everything's under the jurisdiction of Krishna. But in Braj, everyone and everything is so rich. But in the Shakti, this story is a simple demonstration of that. When this jackal was actually the object, the target, the cruelty, he went to Radharani herself into this jackal. Not a very high class of an entity, but typical of us. Typical of our qualification and status. She felt personal, delivered, and she could not tolerate that pain in that creature. So she is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. And from the Jews, that's very important. This mercy alone will suffice for our protection. Yeah, it's got an authorized commentary to the story. Thank you very much. I'm very appreciative.
So that's what makes it so he can't understand it, because it's coming, it's free will, so he has no control over it. What? Is that, no, I'm asking, is that right or wrong?
Well, the thing that nothing can control is love, it's free.
Yeah.
And love, that statue, is beyond the realm of Krishna's control. Of course, he lovingly submits to it because that's part of his reason for everything. Well, thank you very much.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Because of what she looks like.
Hare Krishna.
And what is Krishna say about the animal? There's nothing.
There's many dangers in the world. You don't even know. You're not going to tell me this.
I wanted to ask you something. You were talking about all this very esoteric subject matters, and at one point you were saying, you know, that... common people are esoteric. It is considered esoteric. And at one point you were explaining in Bhagavan, you know, how this came to be like that. And afterwards, the devotees were cooperating in order to get the devotees nicely situated. They can get your companion out of this kind of feeling of separation. You already explained that the first is found in the separation of Krishna like that. And I agreed with everything except this part, because I feel like in where the world is now and where is the cooperation and service made now, if there weren't such an exalted pattern that you can compare them with the practice, then how is it possible for them to be, you know, not doing the same thing, even though it's going to be
exalted? Krishna gives us an offer. He gives us an experience, a practical experience of what is exalted and esoteric, to give us real taste. He hopes that we will cultivate that taste. And in that cultivation, in that taste, purify our hearts to actually qualify for what we've been granted a glimpse and a taste of. But who does that and who doesn't is who utilizes their free will properly and who doesn't. It's right. Not within Krishna's control, because he won't control that.
No, I understand that, but you were assuming or saying that they were on that platform. So
I didn't say that everybody was. The principle that Krishna, he offered a major opportunity which manifests in major tangible experience that the devotees were very united in a common loss.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they were all as purified as the sort of Vrindavasis. But in Krishna's Bhoma Lila, he includes, he blends the most exalted and pure with the most degraded and base, and tries to bring all these things together. And in the process, some actually qualify themselves, feel good themselves to actually access that qualification as you're being offered. Others don't, but Krishna makes the offer to give demonstrations.
Yeah, that sounds more like I can understand that.
No, I wasn't serious. No, what I try to do is, in the esoteric, point out how it's actually practical and applicable in our own sadhana.
Yeah.
Because Krishna doesn't reveal things that are esoteric that has no meaning to us.
No, naturally.
So, I consider it important to approach the esoteric with the practical lesson for us at our stage in sadhana.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at English, so
That flicks a little more of me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.